Welcome, great patriotic friends, to October 6th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. I am your host, Joseph DeCristoforo. One of the reasons why I do the show is because I'm on a mission from Uncle Sam to make history as fun and exciting as one can make a history podcast. I assembled this podcast from a tool shed in my backyard in La Mesa, California, right next to America's finest city, San Diego. If you're looking to move to the area, or if you already live here but you have some questions about real estate, check out TeresaLovesRealEstate.com. Why? Because as a full-service Encinitas and San Diego real estate professional, Teresa works with buyers, sellers, and investors in real estate transactions. So yeah, check it out, TeresaLovesRealEstate.com. And let's begin the show as we normally do with the Pledge of Allegiance. Let's everybody stand up, face the flags if we have one, put our right hands over our hearts and begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. America! And now on to today's headlines. Today's my son's birthday. Happy birthday, Reese. Thanks for being the great young man that you are. So with that in mind, I'll talk about how the Reno brothers hit their first train robbery, the invention of cream of wheat, the self-wind-up clock, and the history of the surfboard. All right, so now let's do this.
1886. The Reno brothers hit the first train robbery in the U.S. Stick 'em up! During the Civil War, train robberies were not uncommon, but when they were robbed, it was for military reasons. There was no such thing as a gang of thugs who robbed trains for personal reasons, until the Reno brothers. The nation was going through high unemployment because of the Civil War, and therefore lawlessness, which led to gangs in the Old West. Starting with Frank, John, Simon, and William Reno from a town near Seymour, Indiana. The first three were bounty jumpers who enlisted in the Union Army, grabbed their bounty, and split town. The boys robbed a few post offices in 1864, as well as some retail outlets. They were arrested, but got off when the only witness willing to testify for these guys was shot. Talks of lynching them started showing up at town meetings and in the press in Indiana, and the Reno brothers had gained national attention. The Reno brothers made their headquarters at a hotel in Seymour called the Radar House and stole everything from pretty much everyone who stayed there. On October 6, 1866, John and Simon and some of their gangsters put on masks, boarded the Ohio-Mississippi train, held a gun to the messenger, grabbed 12 G's, pulled the bell stop, and when the train slowed down, they took off in the night. America's first recorded train robbery. They committed several more, but eventually were captured and sent to jail. They would be met with a gang of vigilantes who broke into the jail and lynched them all.
1783, Benjamin Hanks patents the self-winding clock. Otherwise known as America's father of bronze cannons and church bells, Hanks was a master businessman and foundry owner. His first self-winding clock was placed in the old Dutch church in New York City and used air to self-wind. 1893. Nabisco invents cream of wheat, says HistoryOrb.com, although they weren't called Nabisco until 1898. Not sure what happened there. Nabisco, which is short for National Biscuit Company, began as the product of merging bakery companies since 1792 with the Parison & Sons Bakery in Massachusetts, which, by the way, is where the word cracker came from to describe a crunchy biscuit, then went on to the New York Biscuit Company, the Richard Steam Bakery, and others. And so many amazing snacks have been delicious ever since, such as Wheat Thins, Chips Ahoy, Ritz Crackers, Triscuits, and the Oreo cookie. I know it's hard to do because we just want to eat the cookie, but have you ever actually looked at an Oreo design? It's pretty cool. Moving on to sports. Now, as far as sports go in the show, I know I cover plenty of ground with baseball, basketball, and football, along with some golf and hockey mixed in from time to time, but one sport I never talk about is surfing. Now, since it is my son's birthday, and that is his thing, I just wanted to touch on the history of the surfboard real quick. I've never been a surfer myself, but I looked into the subject and was fascinated by some of the ways the surfboard has been re-engineered throughout the years, namely in design. Ancient Hawaiian surfboards were used in physical training as well as spiritual events, often with rituals being performed while the surfboard was being made. I'm sure if my son ever has a custom surfboard being made for him, he'll also perform a ritual. In 1926, Tom Blake redesigned the surfboard and made it hollow inside. At first, the local Hawaiians scoffed at it. It was built from redwood and had tiny holes drilled all over it and a thin piece of redwood on top. It was about 15 feet long, 4 inches thick, a foot and a half wide, and weighed 100 pounds. But it was better, faster, and stronger than the surfboard of the Aborigines. You're welcome, Hawaii, and the first to be mass-produced. 5 years later, Blake put a fin on the back of it to help guide the board around the waves. In the 30s, the tail size was slightly altered, making this new design of hot curl surfboards easier to curl the waves. Balsa wood would replace redwood later, and then the outbreak of World War II led to many technological advances that changed the surfboard forever. The creation of fiberglass, certain plastics, and styrofoam. In the 50s, polyurethane foam was introduced to the design. Around the same time, in Manhattan Beach, a Californian named Del Velsi opened one of the first real surf shops. Since then, new designs in the surfboard include the shortboard, twin fins, the surf leash, three fin thrusters, pop-out boards, and more. Since the 80s, aside from the artwork, the surfboards haven't really changed that much. And there is your surfboard recap. And so that, my friends, is going to wrap it up for October 6th on Joe's Daily U.S. History Lesson. Once again, I'm your host, Joseph DeCristoforo. Check out the website, joesdailyushistorylesson.com. Let me know what you thought about today's program. Did you send Reese a happy birthday card? Old West fans, what's your take on the Reno Brothers story? Snack fans, what's your favorite Nabisco treat? Surfers, what kind of gear do you use? I want to hear all about it. Leave it up on the comment board on the website. Check out some of the multiple choice quizzes, too, while you're on there. Good luck with those. And be sure to check out tomorrow's program. I'll talk about Operation Enduring Freedom, Ford's assembly line, air conditioning, frozen foods, and the hula hoop. So don't miss that. In the meantime, you can catch me on Facebook and Twitter. My Twitter handle is @JDUSHL. So until then, thanks for listening, everyone, and thanks for being great patriotic Americans. We'll see you tomorrow.